Morning. Today's daf in Yuma is daf Lamed Gimel. Or Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Yesterday we got a macro look at the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The Parsha speaks of Avodas Yom HaKippurim in Acharimos, and it goes through basically all of Perek Tazayin, with first three aliyahs of the Parsha. We noted yesterday that if you read the Pesukim Kipshuto, the simple explanation of the Pesukim have it that the Kohen Gadol is wearing his big day kahuna in the morning. Then he makes one change of clothing, where he changes into the big day lavan, into the white clothing, as he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and performs all the avod inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then he makes one more change, and he goes back into the big day zahav, into the regular begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So that makes for a total of three dress changes over the course of Yom HaKippurim. That's a simple pshat in the Pesukim, and we noted yesterday that that's how the Pesukim read on the very simplest level. The Gemara yesterday's daf Lamed Beis taught us that's true, but that's not the halacha Moshe Misinai. The halacha Moshe Misinai is that there's going to be an additional two dress changes, where he's going to go from gold to white, back to gold, back to white, back to gold. What the Gemara says, in order to do that, in order to facilitate that, so you're going to have to take a pasuk in the parsha, pasuk Chav Gimel, and we're going to move it. We're going to move that pasuk. The pasuk gives it's right towards the end of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and the pasuk reads, pasuk Chav Gimel, v'aron al Ol Moed. And Aaron goes into Ol Moed. Ufashad his big day abad, and he takes off the linen clothing. Asher lavash bevol akorish v'inichem sham, and he deposits them there. V'rachatz is besor b'mayim b'makom korish lavash begadav, and then he wears his own clothing and he does the rest of the avoda. So the Gemara told us yesterday that the entire parsha is in order, except for that pasuk. Pasuk Chav Gimel is not in order. What are we going to do with pasuk Chav Gimel? We're going to move it, and what's going to happen is we're going to set it so that it goes after the Ayel and the El Ha'am, and the Ayel Ha'am. So that Kohen Gadol is going to be doing first the Avoda of the Tamid, wearing his gold. Then he's going to be doing most of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim in his Lavan, going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, creating the smoke in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkling the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim of the seer and the par. Then he's going to go back to gold in order to bring the Ola of both for himself and for the nation. Then he's going to go back into white in order to go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to collect the Kaf and the Machta. Then he's going to change one more time into gold, and he's going to offer the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim and anything that is anything that's left to offer. That's a Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim from a macro scale. We got all this from yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf told us, Halacha Moshe Misinai, that there has to be five tefillahs, and there's a tefillah every time he changes, and there's going to be 10 kiddushim, 10 times that he washes his hands. Now, in terms of the washing of the hands, so that was subject to a debate. If you remember yesterday's daf, on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, so the Gemara brought down a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, you wash your hands when you're dressed. So that means to say that according to the Chachamim, you wash your hands before you remove whatever clothing you were wearing. You then tov on the mikvah. You then put on the new clothing, and then you wash your hands again. That's the shita of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Meir says, no. Rabbi Meir says, first you take off your clothing, then you wash your hands, then you go into mikvah. By the way, when I say wash your hands, I mean wash your hands and feet. Then you go into the mikvah, then you get dressed in the new clothing, and then you wash your hands again. So machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. There was machlokas amongst the Amoraim within the shita of Rabbi Meir. Those two hand washings, was one hand washing for the clothing that he removed, and the other one for the clothing that he's going to put on? Or according to Rabbi Meir, no. Both hand washings are for the clothing that he's going to put on. So that was subject to a machlokas yesterday. Remember, Rabbi Papa had that discussion. He thought it was clear that one's for taking off, the other one's for putting on. The Gemara then quoted a braisa that no, both are for putting on, and the Gemara left that off as itanya tanya. It could be that that's the braisa, and there's nothing more that we could say about that. We are now on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we are continuing a little bit more discussion in terms of the Kiddush Yadayim, in terms of the washing of the hands. Remember yesterday we tried to find where the Torah doesn't mention Kiddush Yadayim, meaning the Torah talks about the toveling in the mikvah. You remember we had a machlokas yesterday between the Tanaim. Where exactly do we learn this requirement to tovel in the mikvah? So it could be in Pasuk Dalet. It could be in Pasuk Chav Dalet. When he changes from gold to white, the Torah says that he verachatz is pisarel. Right, that's Pasuk Dalet. Let me just go back to the Pesukim quickly. Pasuk Dalet. Tonus by Kodesh Yilbashu Michnase by Yua Besaro, Vavne by Yahur, Mifsah by Yisno, Big Day Kodesh Aim, Virachat by Maimis Besaro Levesham. He tovels in the mikvah and he puts them on. So that's Pasuk Dalet. So that's when he's changing from gold to white. And then Pasuk Chav Dalet, which is the end, Virachat is Besaro by Maim, Bemakum Kodesh Velavash is Begadav, Vyatsav Asa Solosav Solosam, Vichiper Badov Adam. And Pasuk Chav Dalet also talks about him bathing and washing his entire body, i.e. going to the mikvah. And there, that's when he's changing from white to gold. So the Gemara wants to know, where do we know that there's a requirement that every time he changes, he has to tovel in the mikvah? So basically, again, I'm simplifying yesterday's discussion, but both of those psukim speak to the idea that he has to tovel when he goes from one to the other. Okay. Amar Rav Chista. This is where we got up to yesterday. We're in the Gemara, on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Two-thirds down on the Amma, the first word in the line is Nafka Lei Midi Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Amar Rav Chista Had Rebbe Mafka Midi Rebbe Meir Mafka Midi Rabban. There's a Shitas Rebbe that we saw yesterday. And the Shita of Rebbe, not going like Rebbe Meir, not going like the Chachamim. Meaning, remember, we had a machlokas yesterday. We just reviewed it this morning between Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim in terms of how exactly hand washing was done. So the Gemara notes that the Shita of Rebbe, which we went over yesterday, the Rebbe can be found towards the top of the Amud. Rebbe is 6 lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rebbe. Minan l'chamish tefilas v'asar kedushin shetov v'kohen gadol mekadosh bo bayom. Okay, that's the Shita of Rebbe. So the Gemara now notes, according to Rav Chista, Rebbe doesn't seem to be going like Rebbe Meir, Rebbe doesn't seem to be going like the Chachamim. So the Gemara explains what exactly he means by that. Mafka mid Rabbanan deal Rabbanan Amar Kishu Lavosh Mekadesh Viyu Amar Kishu Poshet Mekadesh. Well, the Chachamim say that you wash your hands while still, in other words, when disrobing, you wash your hands prior to disrobing. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. Rebbe says no. Rebbe says first you take off your clothing and then you wash your hands and your feet. Umafka mid Rebbe Meir, on the other hand, however, explains Rav Chista, Rebbe doesn't go in sync with Rebbe Meir. Why? The Ilu Rebbe Meir Amar HaKidosh Basra Kishu Lavosh Mekadesh. Viu Amar Kishu Poshet Mekadesh. And meanwhile, Rebbe Meir says that when putting on clothing, first you put on the new clothing, then you wash your hands. Rebbe says, no, just the opposite. You wash your hands and you put on clothing. So, that is Rav Chista's understanding of the Shita of Rebbe. Amar Rav Acher bar Yaakov Hakomon Mikirsheni Shlovesh V'Achakach Mekadesh. So Rav Acher bar Yaakov says can't be. Meaning when it comes to putting on new clothing, everyone's in agreement. There's no one that argues that you first put on the new clothing, then you wash your hands. My time. Why? Why is he convinced that everyone holds like that? Meaning Rav Meir we know, the Chachamim we know, even Rebbe also feels that way. My time in Amar Karak, the Torah says, Obikishtam al Mizbech. Well, in other words, you wash your hands, and what do you do immediately after you wash your hands? You approach the Mizbech. Meaning that after you wash your hands, what's the next thing that needs to happen immediately? With no interruption, with no separation? You have to go be able to do the Avoda. So in other words, you have to have your hands washed, and the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to do the Avoda. Well, if you have to get dressed, that serves as an interruption. So, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, can't be. Has to be that everyone says that for that second washing of the hand, you're already dressed. So, Amalei Rav Acha bar Rav Rav Ashi, lo Rav Chista isle Rav Acha, lo Rav Acha isle Rav Chista. Okay? So, what's clear, and the only logical conclusion, is that Rav Chista can't be holding like Rav Acha, and neither vice versa. Why? Because remember, what is the argument of Rav Acha bar Yaakov? That you have to wash your hand, and the next thing that's going to happen is you have to go right into, you have to be able to do avoda. So, which means that you have to be dressed already. And what was Rav Chista's understanding, at least according to Rebbe, is that you wash your hands when? Twice. But when? After you take off the old, after the Kohen Gadol takes off his old begadim, and before he puts on his new begadim. Okay. The two positions are mutually exclusive. And the Gemara says it has to be. Because imagine now if we try to conflate these two opinions. What's going to happen? Isle de Rav Chista. De'im ken l'Rebbe, havlu chameisar kedushin. Let's try to conflate these two positions. Let's see. There's a requirement to wash your hands after you take off the clothing. There's a requirement to wash your hands before you put on the new clothing. There's a requirement to wash your hands right after you put on the new clothing. So that means with every changing, how many hand washings are there going to be?
Three.
And how many times is this occurring? Five. Five times. So five times three, 15. So it would come out then that if we conflated the positions of Rav Acha and Rav Chista, Kohen Gadol would be washing his hands 15 times, Halach L'Moshe Misinai states 10 times, and end of that discussion. The two positions cannot be conflated.
Was that a bracha made when they washed? Because if it did, then the problem would be men undressed.
Unclear. Unclear. The answer seems to be no, but I don't know.
It seems to be no, because if he's undressed, how can you say it?
I don't know. I have a good feeling that it's discussed, but I do not know. We're in the two dots. We're in Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. We're at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. We go on in the Mishnah. You go back to the Mishnah in Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis. So the Mishnah started with the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So the first thing that happens is Parshat, he removes his clothing. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah back on Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis. He already goes down to the mikvah, Vatava Olav, and his topic. He comes back up and he dries himself off. Evilo Big Day Zav, now he puts on the Big Day Zav, Vilavash, the Ki Day Shadav Raglav. Okay, and he washes his hands after having put on the Big Day Zav. Evilo Satamid. Okay, so they bring him the carbon tamid. Mishnah says, what's the next step? Yeshecht. But the Mishnah doesn't say the word shecht. Kartso. So he makes an incision. And then the Mishnah describes a make Achir Shchita Al Yado. And someone else finishes the job. And meanwhile, he grabs the bowl and Kibel Saddam. He grabs the bowl and he does the Kabbal Saddam, the receiving of the blood from the neck of the animal as the blood is rushing out the neck. The Gemara discusses we're on the very bottom of Lamed Beis Amad Aleph at the two dots. Hevilo Saddam Kartso v'chulei my Kartso. It's a strange term. What does that mean? Where is that term coming from? Amar Ula Lishna de Ketalahu. It means to kill. Amar Avnach Ma'etzik my Krom. So the Gemara says, and where do we see this from? Meaning, do we have any psukim that speak to this idea that the word kartso means to kill? Gemara says, yes, we do. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Egla yefefia mitzrayim karts mitzafon bova bava. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that the beautiful egla of Mitzrayim, but meanwhile, karts mitzafon bava. The Mitzrayim is wonderful. It's an eagle. It's a calf. However, we're to understand the imagery, but meanwhile, you know where the murder is going to come from. It's going to come from the north. Says the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. My mashma. So the Gemara says, now, how do you understand the pasuk? Can the mitargim Rav Yosef? So we go to this every time. Every time we want an understanding of pasukim in Nach, so we have a targum and right. Almost always, I don't have a encyclopedic knowledge at. To say the least, but it's always Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is the Targum Anach. So can the Targum Rav Yosef, and this is now we're reading the Aramaic translation of the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Malka Yai Hava Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a beautiful nation. The eagle, the way he understands the imagery, is an imagery of beauty. So Malka Yai Hava Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is beautiful. But Amamin Ketulin Mitzifona Yase Allah. But a murderous nation is coming in from the north. A reference to Bavel. Bavel's going to come in and wipe out Mitzrayim. Okay. So, but meanwhile, what do we see? And there was the point over here, we learned a little bit of Nach, but the point over here is that the word Kartso, which is a word used in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, when you look at Targum Rav Yosef on the Pasuk, it's translated as Ketala. It means murder, to kill. Good. So when our Mishnah now describes Kartso, it means he's killing the animal. So karts become. So the Gemara says, okay, and how much of an incision are we talking about? Amar Ula b'Rav Shnayim, v'chein Amar Rav Yochanan b'Rav Shnayim, v'af Reish Lakish Shavu b'Rav Shnayim. So the Gemara quotes a number of Amoraim, and it is Rav Shnayim, meaning Shechita. We know, we've gone through the first two Parakim of Chulin, we know that what does Shechita entail? That that you have to make an incision into the neck, from the front of the neck, and you have to go through two pipes. You have to run through the trachea and you have to run through the esophagus. Now, you don't have to go through the entire pipe. You have to go through the majority of both of the pipes. Now, anatomically, chances are that by the time you get to the esophagus, you will have already cut the trachea. But the halacha is that you need to cut the majority of each one of those pipes. If for whatever reason you had the pipes going, laterally, side by side, and you cut the two of them, so you only have to cut the majority of the two. The point is that the Kohen Gadol, when he cut the minimum. But the minimum is Rov Shnayim. He's got to cut the majority of the two pipes. There are a number of Mishnayos in Masech Techulin. So one Mishnah says, Rubu Shalach Kamohu, that the majority of a pipe is like the entirety of the pipe. Once you cut the majority, well, we're talking about the majority of the circumference. Once you cut the majority, so then we have another Mishnah which says, Rov Echabov, Rov Shain Bebehema. When it comes to a bird, you have to cut the majority of one pipe. Either one, by the way. When it comes to an animal, you have to cut the majority of both pipes, the trachea and the esophagus. So because the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the point of that extra Mishnah is in Chulin. Because I might have thought the following. We have a Mishnah here in Yuma. The Mishnah here in Yuma describes what? The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who's doing the Shechita, where he's going to be kartso. Now, what does kartso mean? So the definition we're giving is cutting the majority of the pipe. Yachol lo meirik ye pasol. So the Gemara is, I'm sorry, v'kibos adam v'zarko. The Mishnah in Yuma describes somebody's going to come in, another Kohen, to finish the job. Yachol lo meirik ye pasol. I might have thought that if nobody comes to finish the job, it'll be disqualified. To which the Gemara reacts, Yachol Omerik Yehi Pasol? Really? We really would have thought that? Meaning, Shechita was performed. Most of the two pipes have been cut. So, Imkein Havyalei Avoda Ba'acher. And on top of that, we also know that in Yom Kippur, it can't be that the Kohen Gadol is not going to be involved in the Avoda, in the basic Avoda requirement. Because we know, that in Yom Kippur, the Avoda has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. And no other Kohen is allowed to do the Avoda. So what that means, therefore, is that when we see the Kohen doing a Shechita, and the Mishnah describes it as Kartso, the only conclusion has to be that he's doing whatever the minimum is. And the minimum is Rov Shnayim. The majority of the two pipes. So therefore, just by virtue of the fact that I can't have any other Kohen involved, in basic Avoda, even the shechting of the Karban Tamid, it must be that he shechted Rosh Shnayim. So back to our question. What's the Hava mean? What would I have thought if someone else doesn't finish the job? Hachikamer. Yachol ye pasol midrabanan. I might have thought that, you're right, Min HaTorah, the Shechita is a good Shechita. And the Avoda was performed by the Kohen Gadol. But here's what I might have thought. That if the Kohen Gadol, sorry, if another Kohen doesn't come and finish the job, mid Araisa, it was a good Shechita, but rabbinically it would have been disqualified. Why? So, I'll get to it in just a moment. So, Yachli Yepasal Midarabanan, I might have thought that it should be Pasal Midarabanan. So, Lakach Shanino Rav Echad Ba'ov Rav Shnayim Bebehema. So that's why I have that extra Mishnah in Chulin to tell me, no, not even a Psul Darabanan, not even a Psul, a disqualification Midarabanan. So therefore, Vechim Achad Afil Psul Midarabanan Leika Lamali Lamarek. So the Gemara says, okay. So now we have it that the Kohen Gadol shechted for the majority of the two pipes. And now we have it that if truth of the matter is that if the animal, if nobody did anything more to the animal, it's fine. Midarais, it's fine. Midarabanan, it's fine. It's fine. So question.
What would the Mishud make that? What would you do Midarabanan
and hold on one second. I'll address your question. Not that I have an answer, but I'll address your question in just a second. So midrabanan. So the Gemara says psil midrabanan leka lamali lamarek mitzvah lamarek. So the Gemara says it's a mitzvah lamarek. It's a meritorious act to have somebody finish it. So Rashi explains. So take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says now three lines from the top of the Amud, mitzvah lamarik kedei lahotzias adam yafeh. So the Gemara says because it'll just be a better way for the blood to flow out, meaning that shechita has been done. As long as the Kohen Gadol or in general, in Shechita in general, as long as you cut Rov Shnayim, you have successfully performed Shechita. From that point going forward, now the animal status is a shechted animal. It happens to be that in the context of the Beis HaMikdash and the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and the Kohen Gadol is now removing the knife, or removing, I should say, his hand, so that he can grab a bowl in order to collect the blood. So now, I've no experience in surgery.
But the thing is, the blood comes from the severing of the arteries.
Right. I know. It's an old dilemma that I've struggled with in terms of how to understand by the bird. You know, the Gemara says that it's there's at least one sheet in the Gemara in Chulin that says that you have to attack the artery as well. But in animals, the entire focus is on the trachea, on the esophagus. All right. So the second Kohen now is going to finish cutting, even though the act of shechita has been done, even though the status of the animal now is a shechted animal and the mitzvah has been performed. But in order to facilitate a free flowing amount of blood, because the Kohen Gadol's job now is to collect the blood, so therefore you're going to have another Kohen involved. That's the words of the Gemara of mitzvah lamarik, in order to facilitate more blood coming out of the animal. But it's not a status issue. The animal is a shechted animal. Now, I want to reiterate Ben's question. I think Ben's question is really, it's really excellent. Meaning, what the Gemara suggested for a moment is that min ha-Torah it's fine, but mid rabbanan the animal is going to be disqualified. Meaning, it's a strange place to put a gzera de rabbanan. What the Gemara was suggesting for a moment, although rejecting it, is that min ha-Torah the shechita was a good shechita because he did cut the majority of his two pipes, but in steps in the Chachamim and said, you shechted the majority, but you didn't do it all, and you didn't go all the way through, so therefore, rabbinically, it's going to be disqualified. Meaning, on Yom Kippur, with the Kohen Gadol, it would have been, I mean, the Gemara doesn't explain why we rejected the Havamina, but even as a Havamina, it's difficult to understand why exactly there would be such a disqualification. I mean, if you look at the bottom Rashi in the previous Amud, so Rashi writes, meaning because I need the blood, meaning the purpose of Shechita when it comes to the Karban is for the purpose of blood. And when we have this halacha, rubo kekulo, so that's a chulin halacha. But when it comes to the Karban, yes, we want Shechita, but yes, we want the blood. So therefore, the Chachamim kind of would have slapped a penalty. You did a good shechita, but you didn't get the blood out. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to penalize. But again, I agree with you. It'd be a strange place to put a gzera d'rabbanan. Okay. That takes us now to the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph and popular Gemara. Now, popular if you say your kabbanos in the morning. Okay, without identifying who's who in this room in terms of whether you are a carbon sayer or you're not a carbon sayer, but you know that the sitter in the morning, so before Shacharis, your sitter will work better than mine on this. So we go through various aspects of the avoda, right? Without a base of mikdash now for 2,000 years, so for us now it's the closest thing we're going to get to avoda is limud. Chafetz Chaim writes in his introduction, he writes a commentary to Torah Koranim, so he writes in the introduction that nowadays the learning of the avoda is going to replace the actual performance of the avoda. So yeah, here it is. So the but in the morning before Pesukah Dezimra, so we speak a little bit about the avoda. We go through Mishnayos, we go through the fifth parak of Zvachim, which was pointed out to me by a number of people. There's not a single machlokas in those Mishnayos. You know that. In other words, go through the entire fifth parak, just the Mishnayos, I'm not talking about the Gemara. But in the Mishnayos, there's not a single point of dissension. So, that gives us some basics regarding Karbanos. We end off with Rabbi Yishmael, but before that, so we have in the Siddur, Abai Mesadra Seder Marach Mishmei de Gemara Vali B'da B'shal. We have the order of the Avoda in the morning, as brought to us by Abaye, Aliba Abishol, according to the opinion of Abishol, which we're going to see in the Gemara in just a moment. I saw Rabbi Kornfeld had a good discussion this morning, where he wonders why we incorporated this into the Siddur, considering the fact that we don't paskin like Abishol. The machlok, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, Rashi says to go back to the first parak, Daf Yudale, where there we had a discussion regarding what exactly the order is in terms of the menorah and the ketores. Abishol has first menorah, then ketores, and the Chachamim disagree. They have the ketores in the menorah. Well, I'll explain a little bit better in just a moment. But it is a strange thing that in the Siddur, we have this version of the avoda when we don't pass like Abba Shaul. At least the Rambam doesn't pass like Abba Shaul. So he discusses why it is that this has made it into the Siddur. Just one other point of interest regarding the Siddur, and then we'll go to the Gemara.
There was no machlokes in the Mishnah. Why would the Rambam changing it?
This is not a Mishnah. This is a statement. No, the Mishnayos and Zvachim, there's no machlokes. But that's not talking about the order. The Mishnayos and Zvachim are just simply, right, the... what carbon has what blood applications on the mizbeach, whatever. In other words, this is the order of the morning. This is brought to us by Abaye, who of course lived after the Chorban, and he's giving it to us according to Abba Shaul. And the Rambam doesn't pass like Abba Shaul, so that's strange. One other note: in the morning, what do? So we first read Psukim from the Torah, then we learn Mishnayos, and then at the end of Karbanos, what do we say? Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Shoshes Remidos Atone Jeshes Bahem. Right? Whether you're Ashkenaz, whether you're Sfard, it's all, in that regard, it all aligns. So so why? Why do we, why in that order? So, Tosfos brings us down. Because, remember, when we, what do we do in the morning? We say Birchas HaTorah. And what do we do after Birchas HaTorah? We learn. And what does that mean? What does it entail learning? So the Gemara Kiddushin says that you should divide your learning into three components. Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Talmud, by the way, means just simply analysis. Analysis of the Mishnah. So when we set up whoever organized the Siddur, maybe you could blame Rav Amram Gon. I don't mean blame, but you know. But in other words, but that's basically the construct in which he set it up. He set it up as Psukim, as Mishnayos, and as Gemara, meaning Gemara in the context of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is an analysis, meaning it's a methodology of analysis. Okay, so that could be a reason why it's constructed in that fashion. In the meantime, we're in the Gemara, we're in Daf Lam Gimel Amud Aleph, and we begin. And what we're basically going to be doing right now is we're going to be going over the order of the Avodah in the morning, coming up over here because at this point in time now we just talked about the avoda of the carbon tamid. So the Gemara now is going to use this opportunity to basically spend the rest of today's daf and a little bit of tomorrow's daf describing what exactly the order was. Abaye Masada Maracha. So Abaye would describe the order of the Maracha. That's a description of the bonfire on the mizbeach. Mishmei de Gemara. So what does that mean, Mishmei de Gemara, in the name of the Gemara? The Gemara here is not making a self-reference. Rashi writes over here, Dekule Yeshiva de Rabbanan de Bei Midrasha. Meaning, this is how it was described in the Beis Medrash. Ve'aliba da Abishol, all going according to the opinion of Abishol. Again, Abishol is of that opinion, that the menorah is cleaned out, then the Ketaris is burnt. Okay, so all this is going according to Abishol. And here we go now, step by step. Maracha Gedola Kedemos Maracha Shnia. So first we have the Maracha Gedola. The Maracha Gedola, that is where everything is burnt on the main pyre of the on the Mizbeach. And after that is organized and that's set up, then the Maracha Shnia Shel Ketores. The second Maracha, there's another bonfire, if you will, that's set up. It's Maracha Shnia. It's set up alongside the Maracha Gedola. And what the purpose of which is that the hot coals of the Maracha Shnia is then going to be picked up, transferred into the Heichal, deposited on the Mizbeach HaPanimi, so that Ketores can be burned on the Mizbeach HaPanimi.
Is the Tapuach Maracha
Gedola Tapuach? I mean, Tapuach is a reference to the ash pile. So the Tapuach will be on the Maracha Gedola.
Okay.
So Maracha Shnia Shel Ketores. Right, so it's burnt over here. Maybe the ashes are transferred to the center, perhaps. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. But that they burnt, meaning they burnt everything on the main. Maracha Shnia Shel Ketores. Then the second pyre. Kedemos Asir Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Shnei Gzira Eitzim, the two logs of wood that are placed on the mizbeach every day. Then we clean out the Mizbeach HaPanimi. Mizbeach HaPanimi is the inner Mizbeach, where the Ketores is burnt. Then five of the seven Neros were cleaned out. Again, this is describing, obviously, the morning. Then, and again, the assumption we're going to make is that it was just cleaned out, meaning, but not relit, because the lighting of the menorah only occurs during the night. And the hatavas and the cleaning out of the five neros now precedes the dam, meaning the next step is going to be the sprinkling of the blood of the carbon tamid. After the sprinkling of the carbon tamid, then you go back into the heichal in order to clean out the last two. Now then you're going to burn the ketores. And this is the abashal component of this whole Seder. Meaning, because what do? We first cleaned out all seven of the neros, of the lamps of the menorah. And then after we do that, then we do the ketores. The ketores kodem le'evarim. And the ketores precedes the evarim. The evarim are the limbs of the animal that are going to be moved from the ramp up to the mizbeach. The evarim la mincha. After we burn the evarim, then we burn the mincha. The mincha over here is a reference to the flour and oil that accompanies the carbon tamid, right? Also referred to as the nesachim. But the nesachim is a generic term that describes all the accessories. But here in the context where it's basically dividing, there are three accessories that come up with every carbon. There's flour, there's oil, there's wine. Here, when the Mishnah says the word mincha, it's referring to just simply the flour and oil. It was kind of like a mincha, not the classic mincha. It was more it was more liquidy than a mincha, a thinner viscosity. If I want to sound somewhat more intelligent, ve'evarim la mincha, mincha lechavitim. Then comes the chavitim. The chavitim is a mincha offered by the Kohen Gadol every day, which doesn't have to actually be offered by the Kohen Gadol, but it's brought by the Kohen Gadol. V'chavitim l'nesachim. Then after the chavitim comes the nesachim. Nesachim is, that's the wine. Nesachim l'musafim. After the wine comes the musaf. O musafim l'bazichim. Now, right, correct. Meaning, we're not talking about every day. Meaning, if there's a musaf. So then the musaf would come after the nesachim. O musafim l'bazichim. The musaf would come after the musaf would come the bazichin, the two spoonfuls of lavona. Now this, of course, is describing only on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you had the two spoonfuls of lavona that are offered so that the lechem upon him can be eaten. It was the matir, it permitted the lechem upon him. Then after that, the next thing that's going to happen, if there are no other karbanos, is the Tamish Ben Harabayim. Shenemar Viktir Alech Chalvei Hashlamim. You burn on it the Chalvei Shlamim, the fast of the Shlamim. Aleha Hashlem Kol HaKarbanos Kulam. To which the Gemara darshins that with it, meaning with the Tamish Ben Harabayim, that is concluding, that is the end. Basically, the Tamish HaShachar and the Tamish HaBein HaRabayim are bookends to the day of Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Tamish HaShachar, tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing. The first thing tomorrow is that the Tamish HaShachar is the first carbon that's brought. No other carbon can be brought prior to that. And the Tamish HaBein HaRabayim will be the last carbon that is brought. No carbon can be brought after that, with one exception. Remember? That's the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is the exception to the rule, where the Karban Pesach is offered after the Tamish HaBein HaRabayim.
Since they mentioned the Musaf and it's not brought early on Shabbat, why don't they also mention Karban Pesach after?
Well, I guess, and I'm guessing, Musaf is a more regular event. Musaf happens every Shabbos. Musaf happens every Rosh Chodesh. Yontif, I'm throwing it out there as a suggestion.
What is Rambam saying?
The chief difference over here is that if we don't follow like Abishal, so then the ketores is not happening after the menorah. The ketores is between 5 and 2. That's the shita of the chachamim. So that's the major change. But Abai is telling us, he's telegraphing that no, I'm going like Abishal, so therefore the ketores is occurring afterwards. Okay, and from this point going forward, that is.
Since this is not a practice, why are we quoting a bayim on daily like davening?
No, I mean, again, the assumption I made is that being that we don't have a base of mikdash, so the only thing that we have now is.
No, I know, but the thing is that when the zikrin was in place, this was not the order that majority of the chachamim.
Yeah, that's right. It's an oddity. Right. That's an oddity. So Rabbi Kornfeld discussed it. He gave a couple of suggestions, but the question's strong. Okay, and here from this point going forward, that's the end of the And I would call it a brisa. It's not a brisa. It's said by a baye, so it's more like a memra than it is a brisa. But he says a libe d'shmei de gemara. So, you know, in other words, the gemara is going to basically treat it like a brisa, meaning step by step, every section of the brisa in terms of precedent. So the gemara is going to give a source, an analysis of why this before this, why this before this. We're towards the middle of the amud, starting with the words amar mar. So there are two bonfires on the Mizbeach. The first one set up is the Maracha Gedola. Next one set up is the Maracha Shnia. Menalan. Ditanya, the Gemara says now, where do we know this from? The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Hiya Ola Al Mogda Al Mizbeach Kol Alayla. So this is the Ola Al Mogda on the fire, which is on the Mizbeach all night. Zu Maracha Gedola. So that's the reference to the Maracha Gedola, meaning where is it burnt? It's burnt on the Maracha Gedola. The Eshem Mizbeach Tukad Bo, and the fire on the Mizbeach is going to burn. That's Maracha Shnia. That's a reference to another fire. That's Maracha Shnia. Shel Ketores. Ve'epuch Ana. So the Gemara says, fine. So far we have sources that describe the Maracha Gedola. We have a source describing the Maracha Shnia. The Gemara says, why don't you flip it? Maybe the Ketores bonfire should be set up first. So the Gemara says, no, Mistabra Maracha Gedola, Difishken Kaparasa Maruba. So the Gemara says, well, let's use a little bit of logic over here. Logically, Maracha Gedola, that's where the Karbonos are being burnt. There's more Kapara occurring by the Maracha Gedola. Now the Gemara uses the word Kapara over here, I would suggest a little bit loosely, meaning because, like we described already and discussed a number of times, Kapara really is achieved how? Zrika Saddam. Sprinkling of the blood is what really achieves kapara. Granted, the burning of the carbon on the Mizbeach is part of the mitzvah, but to say it is the kapara, it's what achieves the kapara, okay, that's not, not in the very literal sense, but it's part of the avoda. And meanwhile, what's the second pyre for, the second bonfire? So that's to take coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to burn the Ketores. Okay, that's not kapara. Again, it's a voda, it's a mitzvah, but it's not kapara. But the Gemara says, Adrabba, Maracha Shnia, Adifishkem, Achnisim, Imen Lefnim. Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to make an argument. And I'll say that the second bonfire, although it's secondary, right, by its name, and although there's no carbon being burnt, but think about where the coals are going to be delivered. Those coals are going to go into the Heichal. Can we make an argument that is more Kedusha? So the Gemara says, yeah, you can make the argument, but the Gemara says, the Kapara argument is a stronger argument. Fine. The Gemara says also there's an eligibility factor, meaning that if I don't have the Maracha Shnia for whatever reason, or if the coals went out for whatever reason, I can go to the main bonfire, take the coals from the main bonfire, and use it for the Heichal. So now, A, it's where we're burning the karbanos on the Maracha Gedola, and B, if unavailable, there's an eligibility from the Maracha Gedola that those coals could be brought into the Heichal and to be used to burn the Ketores. Okay. By the way, just to pause for just a moment in the Gemara, and notice what's missing, meaning we're going over the entire order of the morning. We started by the arrangement of the bonfires. Right, so we started with the arrangement of the bonfire, the main bonfire, the secondary bonfire, and we're going to go on after that. What's missing from this list? Yeah, so we spent an entire perek in Yuma describing an avoda, and we've said already a number of times, first avoda of the day, and it's not here, and that's the Chumash Hadashah. Second Tosfos on the Amud, Abai Masada Maracha V'chule, Temali. Amaylo kachashiv nami trumas adeshin. Da'avyanami tchilas avoda diyamama. Okay, so great trivia. I mean, trivia. It's not trivial, but great question. Meaning, you go to somebody who says the abaye every day. You know, it's always it's hard to do this. But what's the omission? What's missing? So the answer is the trumas adeshin is missing. So Tosfos notes that, and Tosfos says it's strange. It is the first avoda. So v'tzarech lomar mishum dezimne makdima osel me'ashmuras harishona o meichatz osel chaglo kachashiv la shaya hefse gadol beina uvein hani dekachashiv. So Tosfos offers one answer, and that is, remember what we learned earlier in the Masechta? Sometimes, now most days, Trumas HaDeshen is done in the early morning. Okay? a kros hagever, which was a machlok, is exactly what that means. Fine. But so fine. And it is avodas diyamama. But on Yom Kippur, when do we do the Truma Sedeshin? Midnight. On Yantav, when do we do the Truma Sedeshin? It's 10 p.m. of the previous night. So sometimes it's backed up really early. And by the way, do you remember what right do we have to do that? I mean, what right? What was the source of that? So we gave an artificial morning, right? We had an extra boker. So basically we created, I mean, we didn't create. The pasta created an artificial morning for Truma Sedeshin so that it can be done at 12 midnight or sometimes as early as 10 p.m. But anyway, so Tosa says, so because it can happen so early, so it's hard to see it as a sequence. There's going to be a big break between the Truma Sedeshin and these other avodas. Okay, that's one suggestion of Tosfos. But these that we're going through with Abaye, in other words, if you were in the Beis Hamikdash, you would see, boom, 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 one after another in succession. So that's why the Truma Sedeshin is not mentioned. One suggestion of Tosfos. Another, Inami, Yeshlamer Truma Sedeshin, Ikar Mitzvah Sarak Balayla, Avahani Ibaila Ma'avdina Biyamama Harishus Biyadam. When it comes to the Truma Sedeshin, meaning we're shooting for night. I mean, it's strange. It really is. It's like, it's so ambiguous. Meaning it is the beginning of the Avodas Hayom. Right, correct. But what we're doing is we want night time to do it. As opposed to the other ones where the language of Tosos is challenging. Phil's pointing out, right? Tosos says, if you want to do them in the day, then you have permission. Correct, meaning, right, to take Tosos literally at face value is hard, it's challenging, because we know that all the avodas have to be done during the day. So, okay,
maybe the Hani, it means Truma Sedeshin. You can do it in the day. You know, when it's still...
You're going to have to do something with the words of Tosos. I understand. Okay, but that's the second answer of Tosos, is that we're shooting for night. Okay. Yeah. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Uh-huh. Rabbi Kiva Eger is on the side of the Gemara. Okay, I didn't look it up. So to be fair, full disclosure. Okay, back to the Gemara. All right, so where are we right now? I'm sorry, I took a break in the middle. I should have done this Tosis earlier. Okay, admittedly, but now we took a break. We're back to the Seder. So again, now what have we established? First is the main bonfire. That's Hiyaola al Mogda. The Ola's burnt on the Mogda. So that's Maracha Gedola. Esh HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. That's Maracha Shnia. That's the secondary. And the Gemara says, and you could give me an argument that the Ketoros Maracha should go on first, but the Gemara says no. The main one where we're burning the Karbanos, that's set up first, then the Maracha Shnia, then the secondary Maracha. Back to the Gemara. Maracha Shnia, we're more than halfway down on the Amud. Maracha Shnia, Shekatoros Kedemos, the Seder Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Then afterwards, we have the two logs of wood, Minalan Dechsiv, Uviyar La Kohen Eitzim, Baboker, Baboker. So, I Bir Alea HaKohen Eitzim. Now, we know, we've said this time and again, anytime the Torah says the word, says something in the plural, so Tafas Meruba, Lo Tafasta, so we're going to only assume the smallest plural. The smallest plural is two. Fine. So therefore, we're going to be operating with the assumption that there are two logs of wood. Ubi'er aleha, placed on it. Ambiguous pronoun. Placed on what? Baboker, baboker. Aleha v'lo chaverta. On it and not its friend. Meaning, in other words, it's a terrible joke. It's an old joke. I tire of the joke. But you know, in other words, every Jewish community is two shuls, one I go to, one I don't go to. So the... Desert Island. Okay, everyone's there. So the Gemara says, but here also, when the Torah says, place the two logs of wood on it, meaning there has to be a choice, and it has to be this one, not that one. That's the understanding of the Gemara of Allah. Allah v'lo chaverta. Mechlal disa l'chaverta. So what does that mean? It means that there has to be a chaverta. Meaning that when I'm going to place on the two new logs of wood, there has to be now a choice. of two fires. The main fire, the primary maracha, and the maracha shnia. So the Gemara says, so that's what the Aleha is coming to teach us. The Gemara says, Vayalami baila legufe. So the Gemara says, yeah, but before we darshan, don't we need the simple pshat first? Meaning, doesn't the Torah need to tell us first? Instruction, simple instruction, place wood on fire. Right? So, and you're darshaning now on this fire, not on that fire, there has to be two available. In other words, before drush. Simple pshat. So, trei ala aksive. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you go through Chumash, you're going to find that there are two psukim that speak to this idea. Two psukim that have the word Allah. So the Gemara says, you're right. One pasuk is for pasher pshat, and the other one now is available for a drush. So, legufe trei ala aksive. Sidish negzire etzim kodon ladishon mizbeach hapanimi. Now, next step of the day is going to be the cleaning out of the inner mizbeach. From yesterday's ash. Remember, we burned the Ketores twice on the Mizbeach. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon. So the next step is that we're going to be cleaning out the Mizbeach HaPnimi.
Didn't clean between the two burning?
I'm ostensibly, yes, but I'm not sure. Now, the Gemara notes that it's true that we have the double boker language. So the Gemara says, that may be true, but if you'll hachi machshir adif, the Gemara says, but nevertheless, the machshir, meaning that which is a preparatory act, is going to take precedence. So machshir mayinu, shnei gzir eitzim. So the Gemara says, in terms of a machshir, we're talking about shnei gzir eitzim. V'hamar shnei gzir eitzim la'maracha gadola azlei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's strange. Meaning, what does that mean? It's a preparatory act. The Shnei Gzir Eitzim are going on the main bonfire, not on the Ketores bonfire, meaning that if the Shnei Gzir Eitzim were going on the Ketores bonfire, so then I get it. Because I'm before cleaning out the Mizbeach HaPnimi, you want to first create the coals. That's a machshir, as opposed to cleaning out, which is, I guess you can also argue it's a machshir, but in other words, but making coals is more of a machshir. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shom Eitzim. I'm sorry, Shom Eitzim. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, look, making coals, you're right. The two logs of wood are going on the main and not on the secondary. But still, it's a machshir in a more general in name. Meaning, let's get the wood ready. Then we'll talk about cleaning out the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So Ravina Amar Hov is Chaba Maracha Gomer, and Ravina says, look, maybe we can attack this from another angle. We already started with the Maracha. In other words, we already did the Maracha Gedola. So as long as we did the Maracha Gedola, and we're going to do the Maracha Shnia, what's next? Let's put two logs on. Meaning, let's not get sidetracked. We're already with the formation of the bonfire, we arranged it, put two new logs on. Ravashi Amar Ilo Mashkach Eitzim La Maracha Shnei Amar Ilo Mayom E Maracha Gedola. And Ravashi says, and look, let's go back to the eligibility argument that we made earlier today, which is that if I don't have a secondary maracha, I'll take coals from the primary maracha. So therefore, we'll go back to that first point that we made, that it is a machshir, that the setting up the two logs, even though we're not doing it on the secondary, and we're doing it on the primary, but it could serve as a machshir for the Ketores, because we can use the coals from the primary for the Ketores. V'dishim is be'ach ha'panimi kodom la'tavetz chamesh ne'eros my time amar abaye gamar gamirna svar lo yadana. Now the next step is, so what have we done so far? Primary bonfire, secondary bonfire, two logs, then the cleaning out of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Next is the cleaning out of the five lamps. Abai readily admits, I don't know. I don't know why. So the Virava Amar Kresh Lakish. Now Rava says, I'll tell you what I know, I'll say in the name of Resh Lakish, Amar Resh Lakish Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos. The reason why is Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos. We have a general rule that I'm not allowed to pass over a mitzvah. Meaning, just here, picture, visualize. The Kohen now set up the Maracha Gedola. The Kohen set up the Maracha Ashnia, the Ketores. Then we put two little logs on. Then what do? We go into the Heichal. We're going to head to the menorah. But on your way heading to the menorah, what are you doing? You're passing the Mizbeach Azov. Ein ma'avir nala mitzvos. Don't pass over the mitzvah. So you're here. So clean that out. So the Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos. And the Gemara points out, V'chiyayo Lehecha B'mizbech Paga B'resha. And when you walk into the Hechel, like I just described on the board, when you walk into the Hechel, the first thing you're going to hit is the Mizbeach. The Italian we learned in the Braisa, Shochem B'tzalfon, the table's up in the north. Mishoch Menachos Roshay Amos Amechsa, 2.5 Amos away from the northern wall. Menor B'darom, and the menorah is in the south. Mishoch Menachos Roshay Amos Amechsa, 2.5 Amos away from the southern wall. Mizbeach Memutzah, the Mizbeach is equidistant from the north and the south. V'omid B'emso, Mishoch Kapichutz Kema. However, in terms of an east-west direction, it is a little bit drawn out towards the east, meaning away from the menorah and the shulchan, and closer to the door. So in other words, then that Mishnah, Menachos, once we know that Mishnah, it's a Braisa, so now we're good. Ein ma'avir nala mitzvah, so Kohen Gadol is going to go in, or not Kohen Gadol, sorry. Cohen's going to go in, and he's going to see, there's a menorah, but I can't pass over the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So Venuk Me'la Hadayo, the Gemara just wants to know, how come the Mizbeach is not situated directly between the menorah and the Shulchan? There has to be a visual. I know we're talking about inanimate objects, but the menorah has to see the Shulchan. The Shulchan has to see the menorah. The Torah uses the description of nochach. They have to be facing one another. So therefore, there cannot be any separation between them. So therefore, the Mizbeach, although it's equidistant, placed out of line between the two, placed a little bit closer to the entrance.
The curtain was there. The menorah was this way or this way?
That's a machlokas. I'm a Rav Shmami Nami Deresh Lakish. Let's finish up with one halacha for today. Okay. Avore dara atutafa asur. Here's what you cannot do. Don't put on your shel rosh before your shel yad. Because of this principle of Ein ma'avir nala mitzvos. Heichi aved. So what should you do? Midara letutafa. So put on first your shel yad and then put on your shel rosh. Now what does the Gemara mean by that? Meaning why is this a function of Ein ma'avir nala mitzvos? So let's just do this quickly. First Rashi, then Tosfos. Rashi. Avuri dara atutafa. La'achar tefillin shebizroa bishvil tefillin shorosh asur da habizroa pagatchila, meaning when you're placing, meaning what are you using for placing? You're using your right arm. I'm assuming you're righty, opposite for the left-handed person, but for the right arm, for the right-handed person. So you're using your right hand for placement. Your right hand, in order to get to your head, is going to first pass your arm. So don't skip your arm. Go straight to your head. Don't go straight to your head. You're going to pass your arm, put on your tefillin shel yad before you put on your tefillin shel rosh. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara over here, based on the principle of Ein ma'avir nala mitzvos. Tosfos says that cannot be the pshat in the Gemara. Take a look at the top Tosfos on the Amud. Perish Rashi lanich tefillin barosh kardim shenich tefillin shel yad. Also deka ma'avir nala mitzvos tefillin shel yad depaga bereisha bezroa kardim shegia l'rosh vekasha leperisho. Demai irya midereish lakish. The order of the tefillin, arm before head, has nothing to do with the concept of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos. It's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah, when describing the mitzvah of tefillin, mentions it four times in the Torah. You know how I know that. Okay. So the Torah says, put on the shel yad, and then put it on shel rosh. So that has nothing to do with the concept of Ein ma'avir nala mitzvos. So, if you're going to reject Rashi, you got to give a pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says, you know what the Gemara is talking about? So, So he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who quotes the name of Haigon. Now, Rabbeinu Tam was a grandson of Haigon, Zagon, coming before Rashi, well before Rashi. So Zatzal, the Ari B'Shash Shechole Tefillin. No, you know what the Gemara means? It means the following. When you take off your tefillin, Umanichim B'Tik, and you're putting your tefillin in the bag, right, you want to demonstrate for everyone? Shelo Ya'avar Osan Shel Yad V'Yidneim B'Tik Tchila Ve'achar Kach Shel Rosh Lamala Deim Ken K'Shiavo La'aniach Yivga B'Shel Rosh Tchila. Make sure that when you put your tefillin in your bag, put the shel yad a little bit in front of the shel rosh, so that when you're reaching into your bag for your tefillin, you're not going to pass the shel rosh in order to get the shel yad, because then you'll be violating ein ma'avir in all mitzvos. In other words, Tosha says, our Gemara has nothing to do with putting the tefillin on. We don't need a drasha. We have a pasuk. The Gemara Menachos says it. Our Gemara is talking about when putting the tefillin away, make sure to position the tefillin so that when you put your hand into the tefillin bag, that you are going to meet the shalyad before you meet the shalrosh. That's Tosos Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Haigon's understanding of our Gemara, unlike that of Rashi. Okay, we will pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow right from this point, and we're in the middle of Seder Ma'aracha.